Thank you, Heather and Tim. We'll let the kids for Kids Church leave. If you're visiting, your kids are welcome to join them downstairs with adult staff. They're also welcome to stay here in the auditorium. One of my philosophies of ministry, and those of you that have known me for a long time now know that I believe part of my responsibility is to see other people that are gifted to speak Sunday morning sermon. That's why we've done a number of things over the years entitled Here's My Life, and that has been my subtle way of allowing women to stand here and share their story. But also having elders that can speak and share from God's word. And so that's been how I approach ministry. It's not just me on Sunday morning, even though some people still think that the pastor only works one day a week, and that's Sunday mornings. By the way, the Sunday morning worship and the sermon part of it, that's the easiest part of being a pastor. That's where you just take the burden that you've been preparing and give it to you all week. But this morning, one of our elders is going to come and share, and that's Christian Scheiner. And you're not speaking in German today, are you?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Romanian? Yeah. Okay, great. Christian Scheiner is going to come. He's one of our elders at ERC. He's going to share.
Chris, can we get this microphone here? Very good. No, not yet. Is it on? Yeah, technical incapabilities here. I'm sorry. Well, good morning, everybody. Are you still awake? You are making the lady here beside me very nervous, okay? So, very good. The sermon this morning is entitled Coming Home. And I know it maybe sounds a little pathetic, but I want to invite you to come home, because in the last couple of months, God has invited me to see how it is to come home. You are not believing in a cheap or just a leisurely God. If you believe in God, if you believe in the God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob believed in, if you believe in the God that had a son named Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to save every one of us, including everybody before us and everybody who will come after us, if you believe that he died for you on the cross and basically wiped out your sins, everything that separates you from God. And if you believe that this Jesus Christ rose from the dead, which nobody before him or after him has been able to accomplish, and this God is inviting you today to see how it is to come home. So in this regard, we have two passages we would like to look at. And again, what I will do is I will just take you and share with you a little bit of the journey that God put me through these last couple of months. And I disagree a little bit with Pastor. When you stand before God and you have to preach, at least for me, not being a pastor, is the hardest part of the worship. But what choice do I have? If God calls me, what should I do? Should I be a dumbass and say no? For those of you who may not be familiar with my vocabulary, I am German, but I do love the S family. There is a lot of brothers and sisters in the S family, and just for you to clarify, when I say S or A-double-S, then I mean donkey. I don't mean what your dirty mind puts in your head. So the word of God came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant of my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to Abraham again. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. So God took Abraham outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Or we would say today, this is how many offspring you will have, so that you cannot even count them. And here comes the miraculous thing. Bada bing, bada boom. Abraham believed the Lord, and he, the Lord, credited it to him as righteousness. Go ahead. No, just come here. Yes.
Offen berung eind uns wanzig. Die neue Stadt Geites. Geites Geist ingriff mich und feute mich auf einen großen Hohenberg. Dort zeigte mir die heilige Stadt Jerusalem, wie sie von Gott aus dem Himmel herabkam. Die Stadt strahlte im Glanz der Heiligkeit Geites. Sie leuchtete wie in ein Edelstein, weil es kristallklare Jaspis. Nirgendwo in der Stadt sah ich einen Tempel. Ihr Tempel ist der Herr selbst, die allmächtige Gott und mit ihm das Lamm. Die Stadt bräuchte die Lichtquelle wie Sonne durch Mond. Denn in der Leuchtheit die Helligkeit Gottes und dem Leicht der Lamms. In diesem Leicht werden die Völker der Erden leben und die Herrscher der Welt werden kommen und ihr Reichtum in der Stadt bringen. Weil es keine Nacht gibt, werden es der Tore niemals geschlossen, sie stehen immer offen. Die Völker werden in der Stadt in Kostbarkeiten in der Stadt bringen. Durch ein böses Tod in der Sonne liebt, wer lugt und betrübt, der darf diese Stadt niemals betreten. Nur wer ist der Lebensbuch Buch in der Lammsstraße, werden eingelassen.
Did you understand? This was German. This is my native language. She practiced. It was very good. I have to say, you understood? See? Okay. So, don't believe me. What Ronnie Lee read was, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with man. and he will be with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son or my daughter. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will the gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is what Rana Lee read to you in German, and she did a fine job. Thank you, Rana Lee. Okay, I'm switching to this one now, because you guys know by now that I don't like to stand up there. You are probably wondering why Rana Lee read to you in German. I remember that at one time Rana Lee had in mind to become a missionary to Germany. And I pray and I wish that she's not going to change her mind on this. Why? Because I am from Germany and I'm missionary to you here in the United States. I think it is fair and honorable for somebody from the United States to go and be a missionary in Germany. And I think it is an honor and a privilege. Missions will not be in your days if you end up being a missionary like it is today. And this is what we're going to talk about today. Because in the context of the holy city of God that is coming down from heaven, and we're going to talk about that, this is one of the aspects that God made clear to me. We're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about believing, and we're going to talk about time. These are the two things that God put on my mind to consider. But before that, I want to give you a testimony of another young person. Her name is Joyce. She is of Asian descent. In fact, she's from Taiwan. And Denise and I are sponsoring her once in a while to go on a mission trip. But I require Joyce, every time I sponsor her, to write back to me what she has personally learned from God. Now, I have to apologize to you because I may cry. This is absolutely moving. Joyce is just a tidbit older than Rana Lee. So if God works like this, I don't know. You know there has to be something to it. So she went on a mission trip to Nepal in the Himalayas. We left from JFK International Airport and had a 12-hour layover in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. We were able to leave the airport without a visa and went into the city. We took a taxi to the beach area that had a bunch of Middle Eastern restaurants. Yeah, like Americans do, they always go for the food, okay? So whenever there is good restaurants, they will go. While on the taxi ride, I was sitting in the back seat looking at the buildings, the people, the mosques, etc. I never thought that I would ever be in the Middle East, and being there was surreal. As I was looking at the people walking outside and doing life, God was speaking to me. He was saying, "Do you see all these people? These are my people. And I love them so much. These are my children, beautifully created." I was in tears as God was just sharing the love for his children with me. As someone from the United States, I know that 9/11 was something that shook the nation and changed the relations between us and the Middle East. I remember people being in fear over their families and loved ones. On top of that, I noticed that the views of people who look like they are Middle Eastern or Muslim turned into hatred. I grew up watching racism happen with my very classmates just because of their skin color, something they were born with. Ethnicity is such a beautiful quality the Lord gave each of us. The phrase, "I don't see color," is completely wrong to me. We are all a reflection of God's people. He loves us, all of us, especially diversity. From the Jew to the Gentile, believer to the non-believer, as sad as it is to admit, I see hatred and divide strongly in the Christian community. There's so much bias towards people who don't look like them. Whether it is how one dresses, if someone has a tattoo or has too much piercings, Christians can have this preconception of a person while still knowing that we are created in God's image. Too often we let our culture, our upbringing, our idea of a Christian hinder our ability to see all people as God sees them. Hearing God tell me the love he had for the nation of Dubai and the Muslim people, it was so beautiful. It is firsthand knowledge of the Father's heart for people. Those who believe in Islam are extremely hard to reach, and it is crucial for the Christian community to love them. At the end of the taxi ride, we ate at an awesome restaurant, as Americans should do, and then took a walk along the beach. By this time, it was around 3 in the morning. We were walking along the Persian Gulf, the closest I have ever been on earth to where Jesus physically walked. Wow, it was so powerful. Our team, about 7 people, prayed on the beach for this nation, for the Christians in Dubai and the unbelievers. We were interceding on their behalf, and God was putting it on our heart to love them and pray for God to send people to the nation for missions. And during the taxi ride back to the airport, it was almost 5 a.m., God was speaking to me once again. He was telling me, as an interceder, why would I sleep at the airport? This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be in this nation, and there are so many people unsaved. Sacrifice sleep and intercede, because prayer is powerful. I was in tears. Christians forget the importance of fervent prayer, and it can shake a nation. I hope you understand why I couldn't stay composed. I have tried to read it yesterday night several times so I can stay composed, but this is very, very powerful. This is a young lady. It's a young lady like Ronalee, you know, that understands that people need to be saved in order to be citizens in that great city that is going to come down from heaven that God has prepared.
But you will rightly say so, why Abraham? Why Abraham in all this? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us that one of the things that Abraham was looking forward, since he was living in a tent, and some of our houses here in New Jersey, to me, resemble more tents than houses, so I understand that he was looking forward to the city built by God that had a foundation and that would never go away. And so this city that we have read about, I would just, when you say, oh, this is future and this is not something that we should be too concerned about, this is what every single human being would dream about. It is a city that will redefine ownership. You are going to be the owner of this city. And let me tell you, this ownership comes without a mortgage, without incurring any debt, without paying rent. This is what you own. This is finally your home and my home. The next thing is, I hope you have heard it when we read it. God will be with us. Right now, sometimes we have these days when we say, is God really with us? Where is God? I don't get this feeling. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. In there, in the city, God will be with us. And let me tell you, we will know absolutely for sure that he is with us. Why? Because he will embrace our soul. Our soul will not ask us anymore, I don't see him, where is he? How can you be so certain that God is here with me? That to me is marvelous. I cannot even fathom. My brain is not big enough to fathom how that is going to be. But this is what our God will give us. By the way, Mary, in that city, there will be no eviction notices. There will be no judges that go after us to find something against us or those kinds of things. We will be home. And it will be forever. That's the next one, eternity. Nothing needs time anymore. It is there. We don't need to wait for it. We don't need to hope that maybe one day, because there will be no one day. There will be a new order. He said it. I will make everything new. The old order of things is over, which means no political systems, no war, no inflation, no pollution, no persecution, and no competition. It also means, if you look in Revelation, you will find not mention of a city hall. You will find no mention of a police department. Fire department is also not necessary. And there is no hospital. Because there will be no more pain, no more suffering, and all these kinds of things. Now tell me that that is a cheap God. I don't think so. You will not sell me on that. The next thing is, and this to me is the best one, because humanity has always hoped for this, we will be totally taken care of. Yeah? Whatever you need is right there. You don't need to work for it. You don't need to get up in the morning. You not even need to press that button on the Keurig machine for a cup of coffee. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to pay for it. It is all going to be taken care of. The next thing, I don't know if you noticed, but I didn't read it because we dealt with it at another time. There is one person in our congregation that is going to be part of that city. That's Beryl, because the city in its foundation will have a Beryl. And that's not a barrel full of beer. It is a precious stone called Beryl. And she's sitting right there in the back. What God builds, this house, Abraham already knew that it will be the best quality you can get. Not some of the cheap stuff that we buy for $500,000 around here. And then the other thing is, I don't know if you noticed, that the doors, the gates to that city will never be closed. Because those people that come in today through your email or on your smartphone or through your door or any other way, these people will have no access to the city. They will not even, they cannot get in there. So you don't need to close the doors anymore. There is also no night when they can sneak in darkness. I don't know if you noticed that. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is how you come home. And P. Diddy or LL Cool J or, you know, whatever their name is, they would say, this is how you come home in style. And I would agree. I would agree with those guys. So again, Abraham, as I read to you, Abraham believed that this is going to be how he comes home. And did you notice there was the word believe? He believed God. And to me, this is where God took me by my hand to understand what that means. When you believe somebody, you have to have a relationship with them. If somebody walks up to you and tells you something, chances are you won't believe them. You will do like in the show me state, show me. You say, show me. I'll give you $200, show me. Yeah? Abraham, God took Abraham out and Abraham looked at heaven and saw the stars. And because God was standing right there with him, you know, this 800-pound gorilla standing with Abraham. And Abraham looked at the skies, and God dared to say, look, as many stars as you can count there. And you know, by the way, Abraham, you cannot count them. Your computer is not fast enough. You know, you cannot count them. So look at those stars, and this is how great your descendants are going to be. This is the kind of nation I'm going to make out of you. And so he believed. Why? Because he saw this 800-pound gorilla and said, I think there is a point here. So he believed. This does not mean that you're not going to ask questions anymore. Because the next thing you know from Abraham, if you read Genesis 15, is, you know, God tells him this, and the first thing that comes out of Abraham's mouth is a question. Excuse me, God, but, you know, how is this going to work? I'm old, you know, my wife is old. Yeah, she looks pretty, but she's old, you know. And all those kinds of things. But what Abraham did when he believed is he said, you lead, you do. I will just be a bystander. I will sit here. I will be a gopher. And you will do. You know, if you say so, amen. That's the way we say it in the New Testament. Amen. Yeah? So be it. Amen. So he trusted God. This did not exclude that he would get doubts, because he did. That would not exclude the fact that he wanted to do it his way, because he did. Sarah helped him out. And those kinds of things. The reason why God showed me this is because he wanted to make it clear in my mind that there is a difference between a believer and a worshiper. In the New Testament, when you read the book of Acts, in at least four places, you will find people that Paul encountered, one of them being Lydia, a rich woman in Philippi. And she is described as a worshiper of God. And you can worship God just out of fear or out of reverence or out of just because you think it is good to worship God. But that does not imply that you have a relationship with God and that you believe actually in God. And I hope you caught it. The unbelievers will not be in that city. The unbelievers will not come home. So that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is why I said, if you believe that he has canceled out your sins, that he will raise you from the dead, and that you will be in that city together with him, that's when you believe. And this is one necessary requirement to come home. Now, the next thing which was a really, really interesting thing, is that God, you know, put it on my heart to think about time in this context. Because again, when we read about the city, we are confronted with eternity for the first time. Yeah, because everything is changed, and everything that is changed will not change. It will stay that way. So I had to think about time. And time, I don't know how it is with you, but time, when I looked at it, is a funny thing. It's very funny. Because time is composed of the past, the present, and the future. We agree so far on time? Okay. Now, there is a little thing about that. The past, I don't think we need to talk about. Yeah, that's pretty clear. It's what is behind us. By the way, it's interesting because you can never, ever bring the past back. It's gone. It's gone. Poof. Like the Spanish say, poof. It's gone. Yeah, it's gone. The future, what is the future? We don't know. We have really no clue. Sometimes we make an effort to assume what the future will be, but then God sometimes has other things in mind. And the present, we always say we need to live in the present. You know what? When you go home, think about this. But what is present? Is it right now? But right now is already a piece of the future. So where is the present? So, you know, sometimes we're fooling ourselves saying you need to live in the present. Well, you know what? I'm living in the present maybe with one toe, and my entire other body is already in the future. Now, my mind might still be in the past. My body is in the future. And let me tell you, your body will tell you that it's in the future. Particularly when your butt hurts, yeah? Then it will tell, or your knee hurts, yeah? It will tell you that it's in the future. It is interesting because one of the people that is left for us as a memory in the Bible, King Solomon, dealt with this issue. He was greatly disturbed with this concept of time. But I have to tell you, the more I had to think about this, and the more God took me on that trip into time, you know, it became clear to me that time is probably one of the greatest invention God has ever made. Because remember, since we are sinners, if there would be no time, we would not be protected from judgment. And time, basically, or with time, or in time, God has provided for us a stay of execution. Execution is postponed. I couldn't find the passage, but I remember it. I never studied the Bible by remembering passages. I only remember what was in that passage. Paul at some point explains and said, in his wisdom, God delayed the punishment of our forefathers for their sin. He delayed it until Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the world. Great time. That was their saving grace, time. There would be no repentance if we would not have time. So this was really something that was very interesting to me. You cannot heal without time. You cannot repent without time. You cannot think without time. Let me make it more sinister. You cannot die without time. Because if there is no time, you live like a dead person forever. But if you have time, you can die. You can die to yourself, to become a new creature, to let God make you into a new creature, and all these kinds of things. You cannot mature, you cannot grow up if there is no time. And you can also not experience anything, or you cannot taste anything without time. Now you may ask yourself, what does this have to do with anything? Well, God has also made time in order to transform us. We need to be transformed. If you read the New Testament, we need to be transformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ. We are not supposed to vegetate. We are supposed to grow. We are supposed to change. And this transformation is, I think, something that now concerns ERC. Pastor and Connie are going to begin a new chapter in their life. The good thing about time is things can start and things can be over. For Pastor and Connie, the time here at ERC is almost over. The time in Maryland will eventually start. We are very thankful to them that they were available for God for 26 years to serve this church. But now, time is up. So there will be a transformation in their lives. It concerns their future. We don't have the future under control. We read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and Solomon almost jokingly, excuse my bad word that I will use now, but bitches about time. And says, God did this on purpose, to annoy us. But he doesn't mean it like that. But he makes fun and he says, God has given a time to everything. A time to be here and a time to be gone. But for us as a church also means that one specific time period or an epoch is over. And we have something new to look forward. Again, when you ask the pastoral search committee, they cannot tell you what the future holds. However, we believe that God has already ordained it. We just have not been there yet, and God has given us the time not only to adjust to it, but to, have a meeting of our minds on it, to buy into his plan, and then to execute his plan. This is why he created time. And I know we're all anxious. I have to tell you, this doesn't leave me sleeping well at night. I do have thoughts about this, and I have anxieties about this, and all these kinds of things. But God has given us time. This is our opportunity. And if, like Abraham, we believe that he has something to show us that is as large as the heaven with so many stars in it, then I think we should be encouraged. Now let's talk one more time about transformation. How does God do transformation in our lives? It's very interesting. The passage that he took me to and tried to explain to me was the passage that involves Jacob and his son Joseph. You remember Jacob and Joseph somehow? Yeah, Joseph was hated by his brothers because he preached them the word of God. Many times this is being twisted around and said, well, he should not have bragged about the things that bow down to the others and, all these kinds of things. No. He just preached to them what God put on his heart, and they sold him his brother sold him as a slave into Egypt. And this is a fabulous story of how God works and transforms people. Because remember, for 20 years, Joseph's brothers lied in the face of their father Jacob. 20 years they lied to him and told him that Joseph was dead. Now, we may not carry around these kinds of lies, but there is other lies that we may carry around. And God has to expose these lies. And on the example of Joseph's brothers, what did God do? First thing he did is he awoke their conscience. So one day, at your conscience, there will be a knock, 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 knock. And God will awaken your conscience. And then the next thing he does, God will disturb our peace. He will do something in our life that is going to be extremely uncomfortable. And then things need to happen. When you read the drama of his brothers having to leave Simeon as a hostage there in Egypt, having to schlep Benjamin back to Egypt, and the father almost died there already, having to give up his other favorite son also after supposedly losing Joseph. You know, this is how this story unfolded, for God then to show his mercy on everybody. And the consequence for us as ERC is, as long as God wants ERC and everybody here to accomplish his will in Hamilton, he will awaken our conscience and he will disturb our peace in order to transform us. And he has provided the time for this. It may not be too late tomorrow, because he has created time. And so, as much as we wish a very good farewell to Pastor and Connie and wish them well on their new journey in Maryland, you know, at the same time, we have to be prepared for God to rattle our cage. Because as Pastor said many, many times, times moving forward may not be like the times that we remember for 26 years. I had to think about that because when I was born about 56 years ago, God already had in mind for me to stand here today. He had provided 56 years for this to happen. And I think I'm not standing here by chance or because I want so. I think I would have chosen differently. Certainly, on this continent, I would have chosen the North, Canada, the country where my kids were born. But I am here. And God provided the time for this. And God is going to rock my cage. He may be rocking your cage. And he may take you to task for the sake of his will. Because the interesting thing was with Jacob and his sons that you would not even closely believe, even for a second, that God would use those kinds of violent and corrupt and dysfunctional people to basically make Abraham into a great nation. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we are Abraham's sons and daughters. So certainly, we are on his target list. He's got our number. And he will come and he will be knocking at our door. Now, Jesus' brother, Jude, probably the little brother. I don't know whether James or Jude were, whether one was the older, one was the younger. But in any case, Jude has wrote a letter. And in this letter he said, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. It is God's mercy that is going to get us home. And that is going to get us home safe. So my wish to you and my prayer for you and for me, for us jointly, is that God will disturb our peace and that God will make sure that we remain vigilant in his orders for this city of Hamilton. Because the orders, our mission has not changed. It does not change when one of us moves to another place or is called by God to do something else. So I hope that, and I wish and I pray that God will show you his mercy, and that together we can continue to work for his kingdom in this city. I hope that the letter of Joyce, you know, looking at a nation, looking at a place, looking on at the city of Dubai, and realizing that those are people that God loves, that God wants to save, and that should be citizens of that great city in Revelation 21, that we should be here a light for them so they can find a way and come home. Amen.
Thank you, Christian. Let's stand for prayer. We're going to be dismissed. The Revelation passage is about our eternal home in heaven. And it's only because of God's grace through Jesus Christ that we have access to that. If you do not know Jesus, the invitation is always open. He's waiting. Come to Jesus. He's waiting for you. Thank you, Father, for our time together this morning. I pray now that your Holy Spirit will speak. You know what we need to take away from this morning. As we leave this building, I pray that we will breathe in your presence. In the name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen. We are dismissed.